of things.
It's way better than the 18th.
I'd like to say it's the Internet and Not of Things, but it's not. It's a remote control for a switch that's over there. I didn't have to go onto the Internet at all for that. Hello, welcome to the Big Show. If you tuned in for the Mac Show and you're thinking, hang on, this is the Mac Show and it's a bit late. No, it's not. It's the Big Show and it's on time-ish. But the Mac Show was a bit of a disaster. And ironically, it was a bit of a disaster for a good reason. Because the good reason was that in our fund, our Blue Peter appeal to get 5 new Mac Minis for the Skype wall down in here, we've actually got one already.
Wow, that's awesome.
Here we go. You ready for this? This is impressive. I've done a Blue Peter style accumulator. You ready? Look, there it is. Look. See? We've already got our first Mac Mini. I've got to say, incredible. I mean, I'm absolutely blown away. In a week of our appeal for a brand new Mac Mini for the Skype wall, for 5 brand new Mac Minis for the Skype wall, we've had contributions from Scott Cooper, Darren Rowley, Adam, Maccast Adam, who shouldn't have done it, but thank you, John Barrett, Roger Nash, Andrew Coleman, Martin Kelly was very generous, Lee Garrett and Tom VF. And if I missed anyone out there, I do apologise. But that first Mac Mini number one, chaps, you get your signatures on. So if you want to send me your signatures through, then we will get them put onto a piece of acetate and we'll get it attached to the top of the first Mac Mini that we've got, which I've purchased this afternoon. And which unfortunately caused all the errors with Don McAllister's line, which wouldn't let me run his video, which ate up like 3/4 of an hour and trying to sort it out. But we've worked out why it's done it, because it doesn't activate the GPU without having a monitor plugged into it. So that's what the problem is. And we've now bought some things twice that are going to rectify that. So so there we go. I'm on the line with OWC at the moment, trying to cancel the order that I've got because I've managed to get one from Amazon that's going to be here tomorrow. So thank you to everyone who has donated so far to the Skype wall appeal. You're awesome, unbelievable. And in a week we've got a Mac Mini. How cool is that?
That is really amazing.
We got more than that, actually, because we're about just under 1/4 of the way, 1/5 up the next one as well. So
that's awesome.
So we've done really, really well. Thank you to those that have contributed. Right, joining me to discuss the week in tech, what a panel we have. For the first time in a while, Dr. Sexy's back.
Hello, sir.
How you doing, man?
I'm very good.
How's Human V2 going?
It's going all right.
I retweeted a post the other week, but to my shame, I can't remember what the post was about, but I read it and thought it was good, and I thought, oh, I'll retweet that. No. That's a compliment. I'm sorry it's not come out that way, but...
So memorable, you can't remember.
No, because it was a few weeks back, I have to say.
Oh, fair enough, dude. No problems.
And it was a YouTube video, that was it. It was a link to a YouTube video.
All right, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But you weren't wearing your glasses, mate.
Was it not?
No, were you looking to look extra Dr. Sexy then?
I thought I'd try and look a bit younger. I think that's what I was going for there.
Okay. I don't think that's not me saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying I don't think it matters, dude. I think you look the same age regardless.
Oh, well.
And you don't look old already. You're unlike me where you've got grey bits sprouting out from your nose and things like that. That's you know, when God takes the hair off your head and shoves it out your nose and ears, you know that's the end.
Yeah.
That's the saddest thing I've heard all day.
I don't need a doctor, yes. Yeah, said the grey bloke with grey hair out of his nose and ears. I don't need a doctor for that, mate. Next to him is Jeffrey.
You won. How are you?
I'm good, brother. You got all quiet again.
Have I?
Yeah, I screwed with your volume down this end, and you screwed with your volume down that end.
I haven't touched my volume.
Well, just give it a fraction more, eh? There's a good chap.
Both my hands are right here.
Yeah, righto. And no trousers.
Well, that's very possible. I can make...
Now you're louder. There we go. Right. There we go. That worked.
I haven't done anything yet.
Okay, there we go.
Glad I could help.
Oh, man. You all right, dude?
Yeah, doing great.
Okay, mate. Next to him, it's Carrie Holtzman.
Hello!
Tenant of the 21st century.
Well...
Because before we started the show, mate, you were saying that your sister has given up her ex-phone and given it to you. Look at the size of this thing. Go on. Make sure it's in shot, dude, because it's a good laugh. Well,
wait a minute.
Is that like a tablet or is that a phone?
That's a tray.
I'm just really small, so everything looks big in my hands.
Oh. So that is an LG.
Never mind. An LG
G4.
Don't go there, Ewan.
It's an LG G4, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is.
Your sister has prized you away from a Razer V3.
No, I still have the...
So where's the SIM card?
Where's the SIM card in this? In the LG?
Have you got a SIM card in that? Are you using it as a phone?
Right now, I'm just using it on Wi-Fi. But yes, I figured out where the SIM card was last night. I had to get the OtterBox off of it, figure out how that came apart, figure out how the back came off. Yeah.
Yeah, of course you do.
And then I was stuck trying to figure out why I didn't get a memory card that fit when I this is how long I've been out of it. I didn't realize it.
Mini
that
SIM,
it was,
yeah.
That it punched out of the bigger size. So I was baffled for about an hour trying to figure this out.
So
I got there.
And you've discovered apps.
There's a great Asus app that works with 14 of their routers that makes the router administration so much easier and adds some bells, whistles, and features like firmware updates are super simple.
So you're thinking you like it up here in the future?
I don't know. Everything was better in 1986, but I'm adjusting. I'm dipping my feet in the water a little bit just to see what all the kids are talking about.
Yeah, but you haven't downloaded. But we've talked about this, and you haven't downloaded Cowbell yet, have you? Or a fire
I
app?
I have not downloaded really anything. So Cowbell, no.
Okay.
Don't forget the flashlight app.
Oh, flashlight. Yeah, you got to have a flashlight.
Yes. Let me make sure I give up my identity and all of my contacts in exchange.
No. You do joke, but actually. Since Apple put the flashlight in the skim up button,
yeah,
I use it loads. I use it freaking loads on the mountain side.
Let me ask you guys a question. You guys that have these things,
yeah,
do you carry around something about this size, maybe a little bigger, that you plug it into to keep your battery charged?
Well, we've got no reference point because you're a midget.
Yeah,
you're a hobbit.
That's true.
Speaking as a hobbit.
But are you carrying around a portable power supply, a portable battery pack to keep you charged up?
Okay, so
yes.
My iPhone's not bad, actually. It'll do me not far off a day, but I've got a Mophie juice pack, which fits around the outside of it and which carries an extra 1.5 charges. There you go.
For me, the iPhone usually lasts about 2 days, but I have an Anker battery pack.
Yeah, I've got an Anker battery pack as well, but I'm finding I've got the 6S Plus, however it is. I'm finding I'm getting through a whole day comfortably with that now. Mm-hmm.
You guys call it an Anker?
Anker, yeah.
That's the name, yeah.
Oh, A-N-K-E-R, mate. Go on Amazon and look at Anker's products. The Anker products are awesome. And if Muller does a bit of quick jiggery pokery with the old Logitech camera. My pick this week, I know we're a bit quick, can you just turn the camera in and flick it at this, mate? This thing.
Oh, that.
Here you go. This is an Anker USB 3 hub.
Mm-hmm.
Powered, and it was 20 quid, 20, 22 quid, 23 quid, something like that.
Oh, yes.
Runs off a 5-volt supply, and it's spitty. Anker, A-N-K-E-R, mate. Amazon.
Sitting on my desk, too.
Yeah, Anker is just, I mean, they make like a block charger that you can put 5 USBs in as well, and they'll all do 2-amp outputs as well, so they'll charge your new phone there, Carrie.
Yeah, but I guess I'm spoiled, because with this thing, I can go for like 3 days and not have to charge it, and then I see my sisters walking around with a cord coming out of her purse.
Yeah.
I have friends plugging their phones into their butts. Like, what's going on here?
I can go for 3 days and do fuck all except make a phone call, says Carrie.
They're carrying around extra batteries. It's insane.
Yeah, no, it's just there is a limitation to having a Razer V3 in the modern era, Carrie. I promise you, you'll find it soon enough. Don't worry. Next to him, it's Ray Mate.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. Got some more new staff this week. It's nice and quiet at the uni at the moment, but I'm blown away by the Mac Mini thing. That's amazing. BTN is the best.
Yeah, no, they are absolutely awesome. Those people that have contributed, thank you so much. All you've got to do is go to bageltechnews@gmail.com on PayPal and you can donate whatever you want.
It's amazing. Can't believe it.
It is. We've got some fantastic fans. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much to those people that have. I'm going to say all night because I'm blown away that in a week we've got a brand new Mac Mini for the Skywall, even if it doesn't work. But that's
exactly.
That's
our issue.
That's not its fault. Yeah, that's our issue.
Yeah.
And last but by no means least, Casualty Kitchen. He made me say that. You're winding me up all night over that. Patrice, are you in your own home? Because it doesn't look the same.
I'm sitting today because I came home from a business trip at 1 a.m. this morning, had a short night and then a full day of work, so I'm really tired. But I didn't want to stand the whole show, so no. I'm sitting. So same office, just a different position. So I would usually stand something like here.
Ah, right, so you have a standing desk and a sitting desk.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent, mate.
Does he have a shitting desk?
Oh, easy. Muller's been at the Scotch all night.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Oh my god.
And I also have a cooking desk in the other room. It's also called a kitchen.
You're joking. Yeah. Deep Pan's found a picture of Carrie's phone, but I can't get it to come up onto Wirecast. So those of you in video, you're going to have to go into the chat room and click the link. So. is Carrie a complete anchor? Nope. Deep Pan's link on britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and you can have a look at the brick, the Vodafone VT1 that he's found. And you're taking the piss, actually, but actually the first cell phone I ever had was the Panasonic version, just after that, that had the brick that you carried around, and you pulled the handset off, and it was on the dials were on the back, and just like that. Yeah. I am old enough.
It was rotary dial too, right?
This week, right now, if you're in the UK this week, you have to have your dog chipped with an identity chip. It's mandatory. And one of the things I put in the Slack room this week was, answer who remembers the dog license.
Ooh, yes.
I didn't buy one in old money, I have to say, but I remember buying a 35 pence dog license for one of my mum's dogs years ago at the post office. You have to have a license to have a dog in the UK, yeah. And you have to have your dog chipped now. So there's advice to all UK listeners. Go get your dog chipped tomorrow, because otherwise you're in deep pub. Who's got the big story of the week? Who's got the thing that's just like, yeah. There's loads to pick from. I mean, Tesla. We haven't got Tesla yet, have we?
Yes.
Yeah. I think...
We've all got Tesla, I think.
No, I got something from Scotland, actually, from Fraser Spears.
Okay.
He tried out, I don't know whether you remember, but iOS 9.3 has this classroom feature now. And he tried it with his school, and his first impressions were, I would say, really solid. There are some minor issues, like the frame rate when the teacher is well, looking at the AirPlay stream from a student. But overall, he was really impressed how smooth it actually worked and how well thought out it's overall. I mean, minor issues, but it worked. So I was really impressed about how Apple is once again trying to improve education.
Well, so explain a bit more. What is this? Yeah. So, I mean, this says it's not like Google Classroom.
No, Google Classroom is basically what we know as iTunes U. It's a where you can go and get some lessons from schools and stuff like that. Apple's Classroom feature is really intended to be used in classrooms. So all the students have iPads, and the teacher has one. And the teacher, I mean, I think the students' iPads have to be under supervised, in supervised mode. And then the teacher can both open an app on every iPad, and I think it worked within a second. So the teacher selects an app, and it's open on all iPads.
Desktop access?
Something like that, yes. He can open a URL on all iPads. He can lock and unlock all iPads. So if he wants all students to pay attention to him, he can just lock them. Trying to remember, he can set up an AirPlay stream to an Apple TV from his iPad. So he can say, "You, this student should present," and he can basically set up the stream for him. Probably him or her.
Not wishing to sound like a Luddite or anything, but what happened to teaching? I'm sorry. It's like, okay, fair enough. I grew up in an era. Do you remember the language lab?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yes. Yeah. So you used to have we had a French and German language lab where everyone had like this console that you plugged headphones into and we all sat there and the teacher would speak and you would speak and then you would interact and then come back. And it was just like, well, I never got why we didn't just take the headphones off and talk. Because it didn't give you any more than that.
No, yeah. I never liked the language lab either.
There you go. See, it's not just me.
Yeah. No. I think the point is the teacher is still teaching. I mean, I think you would be using this for class projects where a group or someone can do something and then present it to the class, or where the teacher wants to illustrate something, so he opens an app like, I don't know.
But this isn't presentation software. This is not something to broadcast to the entire class. This is an interaction between the teacher and an individual student, isn't it?
That the student would present to the entire class. So I don't know, the student would maybe sketch something and then show it to the entire class. I mean, it depends.
Well, maybe I'm being a bit pissy about this, but there's a certain element of the language lab never worked for me, like it never worked for Richard. And I don't, you know, what happened to teaching? What happened to standing up in front of a group of kids and saying something that made them go, wow?
I think school nowadays is way more interactive. So students are, I mean, they're still teaching, as far as I know. I mean,
my sister is a teacher. Talk to you through a computer and it's way more interactive.
No. The point is the teacher is teaching, but they are also allowing the students to learn something on their own and then teach it to their peers. So it's...
I would agree with that. I mean, I was thinking the other day, like, how much things have come on, and you think about when we were at school and we were learning about, say, like the atom and stuff like that. And now if you can get an app and actually look at an atom in 3D and kind of rotate around it and then look at atoms of different molecules interacting with each other, I would be so much more interested than I was at the time, rather than just really dull, flat diagrams on a page.
But my point would be, Richard, that theatre... is contained within that movie or that interactive application, and there are no schools that I know of that haven't got some form of projector or interactive whiteboard that can demonstrate that to the whole class and explain to the whole class about it.
I think that's exactly the point. The student, I mean, you as a teacher, you would give the students some task. I mean, when I was in school, we didn't have anything like this. And even there, we got a task to do something in class. And when we were done, we had to present it to the rest of the class. I don't know, write something, sketch something, learn something, and then teach it. And you would use, I mean, whether you're using a projector or using the iPad that is projected to a TV or to a projector, that I think that's the same thing. It's not about that you're only in this app. You're standing in front of the class and you're showing what you have learned or what you have done. Okay. And that is, I think, the point of this classroom experience.
I'll stand corrected, but there's a certain... I mean, I'm talking as well from my own experience of my son's education, where there's a bit of me is kind of like, for Christ's sake, you know, they'll come out with stuff. And I'm like, why didn't you just... talk to them about that. Why has it got to go through this process and that process? And oh, it's a new way of learning. No, it's not. Yeah, it's not learning at all. He doesn't learn anything.
No, because I have to disagree. I mean, just looking at my own education. If you do something yourself, if you work on something and you discover the thing yourself, it's more valuable to you and you learn more than if someone is telling it to you. If I tell you how to use I don't know, Photoshop, that probably doesn't have much value. If you try it on your own and you figure out how to use it and I help you with it, I think that has more value to you.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. I think that experience sticks with you. And furthermore, you can speak with conviction when you're talking about something that you've experienced. There's too many Google experts out there, and people will turn around and give each other advice having no actual experience to build it upon. Everybody wants to live vicariously through other people, and And I think I also see people trying to avoid making mistakes. And I think that is a mistake. Making mistakes is how we learn. And if we take every step, okay, you tell me everything I need to do so I don't screw this up, and you do it and it works, then all you did is verify what you think you already knew. Mm-hmm. When you experience a problem and you have to resolve that problem, that's where the education comes in and the experience.
Yeah. So why is that not a question to the teacher in the middle of the classroom then? And he goes, yes, you're right, or no, you're wrong. And explains why you're wrong, and then the whole class get the benefit of that.
He might do that. I mean, he's still there and he can answer that question, but there is some value to, as you said, to solve it on your own. Yeah. The teacher is there always there as a backup. If you're stuck, you can ask him.
Well, right, do you work in education?
Well, the teacher shouldn't be a backup. You know, I work in a place called, we call it the Center for Technology Enhanced Learning, and the most important thing is that the technology doesn't replace learning. All it does mm-hmm. is aid it. And yeah, what you're kind of talking about, it's kind of a nightmare scenario for me. It was a classroom full of kids with iPads just staring at them with headphones on. That doesn't do anything. What we do is we take education, we film the lectures on green screen where the students can watch them at their leisure. And what they used to do is they'd go into a lecture at 9 o'clock on Monday morning and they would be interested. The lecturer would be doing a lecture they've done for the last 10 years. They just project and they wouldn't do anything. So we take that, we capture it, and they can watch that at the leisure. And then the seminar time where they have that one-to-one interaction with the lecturer is the most important bit. So instead of giving them 1 hour of lecture, 1 hour of seminar time, we give them 2 hours of seminar time. Then there's no technology there. The technology enables them to get the information they need to take into the session, mm-hmm. and then they have that one-to-one interaction. By putting a barrier of a screen in front of people while the person's in there doesn't work in education. No. And that's what we say at the mm-hmm. university is it's technology-enhanced learning. It's not technology-replacing learning.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I think you've got to be really careful that just because you can do something like this, it doesn't necessarily mean that you should be doing it. But
I mean, if you've ever listened to what Fraser Spears has done and the experiences he has had in his, I mean, it's a private school, so it's, I think,
it's also a special case.
But they have done really cool things, and I think the students have benefited from it.
Yeah.
And they've tried to take a sane approach.
I'm agreeing. I think there's, you know, Ellis has some stuff where he interacts with, and he comes home and he fires up Sharon's laptop and he goes and he researches something and he has to write it down and he finds stuff and he prints stuff out. And some of it's a bit of cut and paste off Wikipedia if he's feeling a bit lazy, but some of it's not. And that's a good thing, there's no question, but, you know, there are teachers in his school who are getting further and further away from engaging with the kids and are doing nothing more than shouting at the
exactly.
kids. And that's just, an issue. They're treating them like galley slaves. And I just see the ability to sit in front of a screen and say, right, here you go. There's how to learn. Sod off, because I don't have to interact with you because I can't compensate them for the fact that I'm a shit teacher. And that's certainly what some of the things that's going on at his school at the moment. I despair at times.
Yeah, I've had that experience too. So yeah. I think it probably has nothing to do with technology. It's something. I mean, we had teachers take us a task and then they could, I don't know, surf the internet or do something else.
If you want to talk about school being, you know, almost in a business in itself, if you talk about academies and that kind of thing. You know, I work in a lot of different businesses, and there is a certain culture which is, if it's not new technology, it's not cool. It's not okay. It's not what we want. And you're like, hang on a second. And the simple things, like in the railway industry, there's a guy who goes down with a sleeper, and he measures one sleeper, then he goes along five sleepers, measures another sleeper, goes along five, another sleeper, measures another sleeper, and he puts one stone on the top, and then he ties a piece of string around the first and the fifth sleeper, and someone pushes the others over till it touches the string. And someone goes, yeah, but it's not been done electronically. It's not been by GPS, so therefore it can't be accurate. And you're like, you know, check them then. And they check them and they're like, yeah, they're spot on. And okay, yeah, because that's the way they did it in the 20s. And it works just fine now, just too. But it's just not GPS. So, you know, it's there's a certain culture that's around that ideology of it has to be technology in order for it to be good and new, and no, it doesn't. And I don't like either. I had a lecturer at university who taught European law, and he was a complete twat. He stood up and he read verbatim what was in the notes, because he'd done that for 20 years, and he actually was quoting what he'd put in his own notes. He'd done it that long for so long. And you're just like, this isn't teaching. This is not learning taking place. Yeah. This is just... And I ended up not going to his lectures, and of course I failed his module.
Same here. There you go.
Because he knew my handwriting. Bastard.
Yeah, I mean, from my experience, the classes I've taken that were the worst, most valuable for me were either the ones where I had to do something myself, or the teacher was so amazing and just... I mean,
where the teacher questions you to think differently.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah.
How are you seeing that? Why are you seeing that way? Why aren't you seeing it this way? Here's the way it is.
Yeah.
Teachers that blow your mind. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I, at the beginning, I was at the Conference on World Affairs, which happens here in Boulder. Steve Wozniak was the keynote speaker, and they did this Q&A session with him, and he was asked about computers in education, because that's something that was an advocate for a long time and spent 8 years just teaching. And I was surprised when he said that putting computers in the classroom has been a failure, and that the computers are doing nothing overall to help students learn. And his new feeling is that it's all about getting the an engagement student, and then finding the thing it is that hooks that student and helps them learn and ignites that interest and fire in them.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Perfect. No, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And technology is then supporting that. Once you have that, you can use technology to support that. But the most important thing is this interaction and this fire.
Most definitely. Good story, mate. Good story to start us off. I was a bit trepidatious there about the Apple link, but never mind. Who's got the next story? Who wants to do Tesla? For Christ's sake, let's get Tesla out of the way. Come on.
I'll do Tesla.
Oh, good God. What the hell do you know about?
I love Tesla.
If you can't if you can't put gas in it, you're not interested.
I love Tesla. Elon Musk.
Get him up here. I want to muff him.
Look up to him. I can't wait for an autobiography from him to come out. Fascinating story. You know, they sold more pre-orders of the new Tesla Model 3 than I believe any other product introduced in the first day. So I think 180,000 people put $1,000 down on the first day. What's interesting, though, is Tesla, the original Tesla was the Roadster, right? Mm-hmm. So let's pretend that didn't happen. So you've got the Model S, you've got the Model X, and you've got the Model 3. Is that coincidence that spells out S3X?
I hope it's not coincidence.
No, Doc pointed this out. And it's when we knew the X was coming, and we presumed it wasn't. Elon knew exactly what he was doing.
I think he does too. I know several people with Teslas. They all love them.
But the car does look like pure sex.
I
totally would.
No. Now, do you guys see many of those there in England?
I've seen two.
I've seen a couple.
And one of those was in a supermarket when they were trying to sell it to me.
I like how that looks.
Well,
yeah, me too.
I would sit on the hood and do stuff that might make people blush.
that's actually the Model S you're looking at, right? That's not the Model 3.
That's all right.
I've just done a Tesla Model 3 search for Google Images, and that's what's come back.
The Model 3... that Elon was showing off didn't have a front grille on it. It was just flat on the front. So this looks different. It's still a really good looking car. I don't like the dashboard. It seems like all they did is they just put a flat dash in with no dials, no gauges, and just stuck an iPad on it.
Right,
and that's
The thing is, the Model 3 is not finished yet. He said as much, that they are still working on the dashboard and on a lot of features. So even the outside might still change a little bit. That's what he said.
It's still in clay in an aero test chamber.
Yeah.
And we're not even thinking about
still a beta.
So Elon has this history of coming out with products much later than the promised date. So he's promising Model 3 deliveries by late 2017. What do you think it's actually going to be before the very first Model 3 owners see their car?
Well, 2020.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if it'll be that long.
But people who are getting it in 2017 are the people who pre-ordered without even seeing it.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ordered since hasn't got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I looked at that, the S, and that is a car that to give you wood. I mean, we were at one of the shopping centres around Birmingham, and the kids went up and said, "Oh, can we sit in the car, Dad? Can we sit in the car?" "Yeah, go on then, sit in the car." So we sit in the car, and the woman comes around. She says, "Model S, how much? 60 grand. Okay, but hang on. And she showed me a whole pile of figures about, here's how much you'd spend in 5 years on petrol in an Audi A4, A5, whatever it was, estate, which is an equivalent car. And yes, you'll be saving 25 grand on purchase price, but you'll actually put 20 grand of fossil fuels into it. You're going to get 5 grand back off the government for buying it as a subsidy. You're also going to get zero congestion charge on it. You're also going to get..." And she went through the whole thing of what they were going to give me back. And actually, the comparative running cost was about 5 grand more than a standard road car. And I looked inside of it, and I'm like, hang on, this is a car that no one can ever steal because it's operated from my cell phone, and I can start warming it up in the morning before I even get in it and defrost the screen, and holy crap. And Paul Shadwell's got one of these, who does a lot of our server work and helps out Vaughan and Wheaters, and he loves it. He absolutely adores it, and I would love it as well. At 300 miles for a recharge, I was close. I've got a test drive organised. Which my wife's crapping herself. But
you should never test drive a Tesla.
You should never let you inside that.
No, car. But I mean the screen, if the interaction with the app on the iOS, and I'm and actually I don't use a car that much anymore, which doesn't help much. So
yeah,
a buddy of mine's a software developer, and he bought the Model S, and he shares his updates on Facebook, and he came out to the car one morning and it said, "I downloaded an update last night and you now have autopilot." And then he filmed himself going out on the freeway, was setting the cruise control and taking his hands off the steering wheel, and the car just kept itself in the lane and just drove itself.
Well, that's
and
illegal,
yesterday
though,
his car didn't have that feature.
Oh, no, because it's illegal. I looked at a thing and it said that it came with the feature that allowed you to drive, but it should only be used on private land, unquote.
Yes. He actually, in his YouTube video that he shared with friends, he said, "Please don't share this. I don't want Sheriff Joe Arpaio to see it and then write me a ticket." There's also a great video of a guy getting pulled over in his Tesla, or he pulls into his driveway and the cops follow him. And he's like, he's got his family with him. He says, "Is there a problem?" And they said, "Yeah, someone reported seeing you put children in the trunk of your car." Well, apparently there's a third row seat that when you have small children, you can just open the back up. And it looks like you're putting the kids in the trunk, but there's actually seats there. And
I've got two seats in the boot for the kids. I actually do put the kids in the trunk.
So. You put them in the boot. And, of course, the Tesla has two boots, the front and the back. You've got no oil changes, really no maintenance. You just have tires and brakes. No oil leaks.
I don't think they mind being in the back. The only time they complain is when I leave the parcel cover on.
Yeah, well, they should just be grateful they get to ride in the car at all.
And if you're part of Solihull Social Services, get a sense of humour. Why have I gone all red? Look at me. I look like I've been drinking.
Wow.
No. The thing's switched off and come back on, and it's beetroot red. I don't know why.
You're doing a Mystique impersonation.
I look like a frigging umpa-lumpa.
With the brakes.
The only thing about Tesla in general that I don't like and that I've thought about is,
what's not to
like? At its core, it's still a standard car. From a production standpoint, it's a standard car. There's nothing exciting. If you look at other electric cars like the BMW i3, for example, they've rethought everything, the production, the materials, everything.
They said, how can we make this car standard, as ugly and unappealing as possible?
We might have a different opinion there.
And they said,
no jingoism here or anything, because you are German.
I like the, is it the i8?
Is that the i8's a sexy car.
That is a nice looking.
The i8 is gorgeous. I've seen a couple of those.
It is just a hybrid. It's not a fully electric car.
I'm sure it
no,
will
it's,
be.
No, it's hybrid.
Sure it will be.
No, this, I mean, this, I'm,
this
I'm
one
not,
gives
I'm,
you 210 miles at least, I think he was saying. Is that right?
215 on the Model 3 minimum.
Minimum, yeah.
He's saying at least 215. They're going to try and go for a bigger goal than that. He's opened the second largest structural interior building, or the interior of the building is like the second largest in the United States, maybe in the world, where he's making his own batteries. That already has people in there working, and he's going to make more batteries than all the current battery manufacturers combined. And he's going to improve the battery technology. People worry about what happens when the batteries go. Consumer Reports did a review of a Tesla owner. They Prius owners. They had asked, sorry, it's British, Prius owners. They had asked if anybody had owned one for 10 years. And they got a number of people writing in. And one of the people that they were talking to as an example was an original Prius owner and still on his original batteries after 10 years. So the batteries may be an issue people are worried about that may be a non-issue.
Yeah.
And then further than that, they're opening at least charging stations. So you can charge your car for free at these charging stations. It takes about 20 minutes. So a buddy of mine drove in from California to Arizona. Well, let's just call it San Diego to Phoenix. And it's greater than the range of the car. But the car tells you where the charging stations are along the way. It knows where you are, where the nearest charging station is. You put your car in there. It takes about 20 minutes. Go have lunch. Come back. The supercharging's done and back on your road trip. And they're talking about adding or I think doubling or tripling the number of those charging stations around the world in the next year or two.
Yeah, there's a few in the UK, but not enough as yet.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I like where it's going.
It's not clear, though, is it? Whether, because obviously I think that if you've got the Model S and X or whatever, but I read somewhere that it's not clear whether this model will be free to charge with supercharging or not.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Okay, because the S definitely is. Yep. You get free charging on that, don't you? That's quite impressive.
They haven't come out and said that the Model 3 is going to have that, so maybe.
And supercharging. You know, there's charging and there's supercharging.
Yeah, it's got supercharging ability. But whether it's whether you're going to get that for free with a 3 isn't clear at this point, apparently.
Well, ideally it will be, but either way, it should still be cheaper than a tank of gas.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the people I've talked to who have the Teslas now, I've asked them, you know, when you've gone to these charging stations, have they ever been filled where you have to wait for your turn? And everybody so far has said, no, I've always been able to just pull right up. There may be one or two other cars but there's usually like 7 chargers.
Right.
So,
there is one I saw had a big bank of them. Yeah.
There is, I mean, even when you pull up at the service stations, the charging stations there are fairly cheap, and actually they're usually free. There's very few people in them. Update on the OWC thing, by the way. Sam, who works for OWC, has now said that I can't cancel it. I need to speak to IRS if they're still in-house. And I said, what's the result then, Sam? And he or she said, I've not heard back yet. So I said, well, why don't you ring them up? You do have a phone, don't you? Stop stalling me. He or she said, we don't have a way to speak to our warehouse. Once they respond, I'll send you an email.
Something to think about when you're going to order from them in the future, huh?
You know it's the 21st century, right?
Are you from the past?
I haven't done the do you know who I am thing yet, but I'm going to do it in a minute.
Oh, please do.
Jesus Christ.
One thing that annoys me about all this discussion about electric cars and range is, if you really look at it, most people, there are some edge cases, but most people don't drive that far on a daily basis. Maybe once a month or even a couple of times a year. I mean, I rarely drive more than 100 miles. Almost never. So,
in a smaller country. In America, it's bigger roads, wider roads, bigger distances.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know people that drive 50, 60 miles one way to work, but you're right. Yeah. It's pretty rare. And like for me, I have to drive across town, which is 32 to 40 miles, depending on where I'm going. And then I have to get back home. So, but I don't do it every day. And so when I do go, it's almost 100 miles on the car.
Yeah.
And the Tesla would do that easily. But if I, yeah. if my range was 115, I would have range anxiety. I'd be worried about, you know, running the air conditioner or playing the stereo too loud. Am I going to make it to my destination? So giving me that extra headroom is peace of mind. Whether I like to have something to know it's there. Whether or not I need it's irrelevant.
Yeah, but most people, they drive like, I mean, like me, 10, 15 maybe, or even 20 a day, and they think about that they don't reach the 500-600 that they want to drive two times a year. And that's, I think that's the issue most people really have.
And you're right, you know, say the Tesla was your only car, and you're like, well, I want to take a road trip, I'm going to drive 500 miles. You could go rent a car with the money you're saving, you know, a traditional gas-burning, petrol-burning car, and take it on your road trip and bring it back and still be ahead of the game, I think.
Yeah. And didn't Paul do a road trip to Scotland from Switzerland recently? I think he said something like that.
Bobby Lou did one up and down the length of the country in a BMW i8.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is working. It's not that it's not possible to use an electric car and drive bigger distances.
I think what I really like about this is the swell of the groundswell of enthusiasm that this has created. It really shows that there's a thirst out there from the public for a good electric car.
Oh, I think there is. Yeah,
I think that's fantastic, and it means all the other electric car manufacturers now are going to have to get really serious about this. And get in the game and put out a car that everyone can happily stump up the money for. Because, I mean, the Leaf is great, but it's just not enough, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Chevrolet, I think, is going to give Tesla a run for its money.
Yep,
in relation to the 3. And that's because the Chevy UK, Bolt, B-O-L-T, not V-O-L-T, is going to be out later this year, and it's fully electric, and it has reasonable range between charges, and it doesn't look like someone, I don't know, crapped a design and said, here, run with this.
But if you were going to spend money on an electric car, Jeff, would you rather own a Tesla, or would you rather own something from GM, who's had how many recalls and government loans and then had more recalls and faulty ignition switches, and then denied it, and then tried to hide it. Do you want to buy from that company?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't want to buy any American cars. The exception would be if I could afford a Tesla and it worked with my whole life right now. I would buy a Tesla in a heartbeat.
What's an American car when Chrysler is owned by Fiat?
How about Ford
owns all these other manufacturers,
and then many
of the manufacturing is being done here in the States anyway, from all the other.
Yeah, that's true. So how about American founded car companies? I've had very bad luck with all of them. So I'm a foreign car kind of guy. Actually, I'm a Volvo fan, and if I was going to buy anything other than a Volvo, and I could make it work, then yeah, it would be a Tesla. But I know for a lot of people, they want to have an electric car right now, and they want to have one that offers a reasonable range. And so if they need a car right now, and they don't want to wait 2-3 more years for a Tesla, then they can pick up a Chevy Bolt later this year.
There's always the Nissan Leaf.
You've got to think
man, that's an ugly car.
Yep. Well, it's no BMW.
And it doesn't offer the specs that the Bolt is going to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not an i3, is it? Is it an the electric?
i3.
i3, yeah.
Man, it's an ugly car. Have I mentioned that? Ooh. Wow. It's like the electric smart car. Just awful.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking with that design.
The other thing with the Chevy Bolt, Jeff, is that GM have got the infrastructure there already, and they're used to producing cars on that kind of scale, where Tesla have yet to prove themselves to be able to do that. And in fact, the track record is that they've failed to do that. So
yeah, that's a good point.
There is that.
Yeah.
Still, I would rather see an outsider come in with no preset ideas and let them figure it out in a modern way versus an older company trying to catch up to modern ways and having to be restricted through budgets and whatnot over how many things they can implement this year. In the car industry, it's very slow to change things. It's very expensive to retool factories. So Tesla's got a fresh start.
Well, what you're fighting is in the car industry is established links with the petrol companies, and the petrol companies are clinging on and clinging on and clinging on and mining for petrol for all they're worth at the moment. It's not working well for them because the petrol price is going down because they're manufacturing too much, and at the same time the renewable energies are improving and they're seeing the edge of the cliff effectively. They are Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, I think once
in an overpriced car.
Yeah, I think that the risk for Tesla is that once we see more incentives from the governments. I mean, we already have a couple of countries that do that, but more and more, and more demand, and I think that's what we are seeing. The big companies will be very, very quick to have an electric car, because at the end, they have most parts for it, and it's just about putting it together. But they are good at that.
Didn't Tesla last year open all their patents to everyone, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah. At least for the charging.
I question whether or not big car makers will really jump on the electric car market outside of what Chevrolet is doing with the Bolt, and we still need to see if that's going to take off. But at least in the United States, the car makers that you see producing electric cars right now are doing it on a very small scale, and not because they have a genuine interest in the market, but because in certain states there are laws that say, you know, you need to have a more environmentally friendly car option in your lineup if you're going to be selling your products in our state.
There's another thing. Those electric cars, the few cars they sell, they actually count to their carbon footprint and the carbon emissions, and that helps
CAFE
them
standards.
So they do the minimum. They sell the minimum they have to, so that they can sell the rest.
So they call it the CAFE standards, and they have to sell so many cars that get 50 miles to the gallon for every that they pick up trucks that sell to get 13 miles to the gallon. But one of the things we're not talking about here, the uphill battle that Tesla has in many states, is it's illegal in some states for Tesla to sell their own car. The states say you must go through a dealer, an independent dealer, and Tesla says, we're not going to hire any independent dealers. We're going to sell our own cars. And they said, no, your manufacturer cannot sell direct to the consumer.
Yeah. And I think aside from the software Tesla is putting in their cars, this is the real innovative part of their cars.
They have dealers, lobbyists going to Congress, trying to force Tesla into opening it up to independent dealers to sell their. They're saying that having an independent dealer adds value and must be a law that Tesla can't sell their cars direct to the consumer. And I find that so offensive as an American, where we promote freedom all the time, that these entrenched establishments with all this money are buying or trying to buy their own laws to keep themselves surviving.
There's only four people on this panel that are truly free, and you two aren't them.
Yeah, well, I know that.
Sad.
Good story. Yeah. Good story. I like that.
Here's the other twist as well, which I read today.
Oh, God.
Yeah, do we think that all the Ferrari over this is going to push Apple to announce their car quicker?
No, they will announce their car when they're ready to announce their car.
Yeah.
Apple works on their own time scale, and they're not going to tip their hand until they are good and ready.
I don't think there's an Apple car.
I think you're wrong, but that's okay.
Are you saying that though, Jeff? They really weren't ready to show the Apple Watch when they showed it. And that was a very odd thing that they did then.
They're still not ready to show the Apple Watch. Richard.
It was a bad choice.
I own one. I know they weren't ready.
No, they wouldn't have shown it if they didn't think they were ready. It was a bad decision to show it when they did, because I'm sure they learned in retrospect that they weren't quite as ready as they thought.
I just remember when the rumors were out that Apple was making a phone, and Steve Jobs was quoted as saying, Apple is not in the phone business. And then a few months later, at like the developer conference, the new Apple iPhone.
No, but I think the car is like the TV. And everyone went, oh, there's a TV. And we have an insider who is in Apple, and they are in a specific place where the TV would have made a lot of sense to mount it to us. And they said, there is definitely a TV. I have seen it. There is definitely a TV. And I am absolutely positive there was a TV.
But sure.
It was done for the purposes of something else. It wasn't done for the purposes of making a TV. And that's the difference. Mm. I'm sure there's a car. I absolutely am positive there is a car, but I don't think that car's been done for the purposes of manufacturing and selling a car. I think it's been done for the purposes of manufacturing and selling items for your car.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't know.
That could be true.
No, I promise you this. There was we had a contact inside Apple who was at, and we still have them. Who is unless I say something wrong now. Who was close to the part of it, and they saw the TV, and they said there is definitely a TV, but afterwards they said it just wasn't a TV for the market.
I would have been stunned if Apple had released a television.
I never thought that was coming.
There was a TV. There absolutely was a TV. It was just never going to be a consumer product.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me at all.
Mm. If it was any other company, but Apple has proven time and again they're unpredictable. For them to get into the music business, for them to start this whole 99-cent song downloading thing and getting the recording industry on board with the, which they didn't want to do. Steve Jobs kind of forced their hand with the combination of the iPod and iTunes. Who'd have thought Apple would have gotten into music and then the phone? Who'd have thought a computer company would get into phones? So now when they talk about a car, my thought is, I wouldn't put it past them. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say they definitely would never do it.
I'm relatively sure that they're looking into it. Well, for what and what happens, for what purpose and what happens to it. I think a car is
just too far away. It's too far away from the Apple product line. I just don't see it. Anyway, we're not doing Mac Show. next story, moving on. That's enough on Tesla.
Right, I'll go next. I don't have anything to talk about.
Well, you better be a bit quicker because we've got Paulum's in there and we've got Jeff in there.
Yep.
Are you putting it in or what then, Rich, or what?
Mine's fairly quick and simple. The other thing that's getting the internet very excited today is the Rogue One trailer for Star Wars is out today.
Yes.
And, God, it looks good.
Well, no, so you saw, I saw that, or you saw that. And I was looking at it going, is this like a fan thing?
That's what the wife thought.
That's what I thought. Yes. Yes,
the wife thought is one of those videos you watch where people just make their own videos.
Oh well,
keep in mind it's only 2 minutes worth of video.
Yeah,
well,
no.
Do you understand that this is not, this is a standalone movie, right? It's not a sequel. Yeah. It's its own story.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and it takes place just, when very first Star Wars movie, Princess Leia has these plans to destroy the Death Star. That's how the whole franchise starts.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. Step away from the planet-killing planet. For Christ's sake, JJ.
Yes, please.
JJ is not doing this one.
No.
Yeah, JJ is not involved in this one. But this is the story of how the Rebels got the plans to the Death Star.
So I like in the preview how everything still has that original 1970s look to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah.
They're wearing the same outfits. The stormtroopers look the same.
The ships look identical. It's very familiar. It's very nostalgic. Now, what's his name? I always confuse these guys. Lawrence Fishburne and
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. He's the one that's in it. And I don't know how he fits into that. He doesn't. When I think Star Wars, I don't think Forrest Whitaker. I prefer if they use more unknowns.
Well, there was a time when people didn't think James Earl Jones either. So,
what's that?
Yeah. Well, there was a time when people wouldn't think James Earl Jones when you said Star Wars.
No.
So, who knows? It'll be interesting to see how Forrest Whitaker fits into this.
Someone did tweet out, I think it was Lee Peterson tweeted out, did I just see Vader?
That's what everyone said, that it's iffy.
I didn't see Vader in this clip.
No, watch again then, because LJP tweeted out, did I just see Vader? And it was like a, holy crap, someone's just pooped on my head. But pigeons pooped on my head. But it was, I don't know. I watched it and I didn't see Vader, and I looked really good. I watched it after I saw the comment. You're sitting there. We're going to have 2 minutes of complete silence now.
I'll watch it.
At what point did they see it? Because I'm watching again right now.
To see when they thought they saw us.
Do you think is that a dinosaur? Do you think he saw us?
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't. Okay. I can tell you the time he tweeted it out. Because I retweeted it, but I don't know. I don't know where he was in the movie, because 4:15 is not really a clue, is it? I suppose.
Wouldn't you rather have that as a surprise? Why would you go digging for something like that? Wouldn't it be more exciting if it was unexpected?
Yes.
When you're at the movie.
Oh, I see the bit.
Oh, see. What's the time code?
It's in the chat room now. There you go. That's not Vader. I'm sorry.
It's not.
He's in the right place, but it's not.
That's
Vader.
Not Vader.
That's not Vader.
But that's the bit. That well, no, but
is that the bit that he's talking about? You see,
yeah.
That's not Vader.
My first thought was that's not Vader.
I like those red guards coming back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carrie likes the red guards.
That's right.
Yes. That's very inappropriate, isn't it?
It's saucy.
This is kind of, it's actually, you know, one of those things that's really disappointing as a marketing strategy, is it? Because, look, Force Awakens is out on Monday on iTunes.
Yeah.
Let's release a trailer just before we release the main movie of Force Awakens. I know they're not selected and it's fine, you know, I get that, it's okay.
No.
But
you look at it from the US timescale, this trailer comes after Force Awakens was released.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
America's got it already.
Bastards.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
but
I mean, the thing is, as well, that Force Awakens was pretty shit.
Liked Force Awakens.
Planet killing planet thing.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Done and dusted 3 times. And I predicted Han was going to die, but no one listened to me.
Yes, but to be fair, Muller's looking also at me daggers because yes. Kylo Ren was Luke Skywalker. And I said no.
No.
So here's the problem with getting older. You know, when you're younger, everything's new and exciting. And as we age, we start seeing repetition and patterns, and we get grouchy, and we've been there and done that. And it kind of takes some of the fun out. I think if you had seen Force Awakens 20 years ago, you would have a different view of it.
They've only made 7 films, and in 3 of them, they killed a planet-killing planet.
I understand.
Yeah. For fuck's sake, that's repetition.
This is for a new generation.
Yes. That's not a subtle pattern, mate.
This film is a brand new, attract a new audience. They don't want to watch your movies that you watched growing up. This is for them to watch.
If you listen at this point, there's some spoilers in this episode.
Yeah. Yes, I've not seen
that,
it yet.
That might be true.
You have now.
You haven't seen Star Wars yet?
Oh, we're going to spoil this if you run.
Yeah. We are decades into that one. I'm sorry, we can't protect you from spoilers from Star Wars.
Force Awakens, he means Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Yeah, oh, all right.
I have to disagree with the fact that it's for new audiences. If it is, they should have done what Star Trek did. Reboot the universe, do it again. Do it differently.
No!
But they released the seventh movie.
No, I had this conversation.
Are you drinking? Were you dropped on your head? No, you can't reboot Star Wars.
Hang on, guys. It's his opinion. You can't tell him he's wrong just because it's his opinion.
No, you can tell me I'm wrong.
We can disagree with an opinion, can't we?
Well, yeah. I would have rather have rebooted it than troll out the same old shit from A New Hope. Yeah.
A reboot. What you just defined.
It's not. It's not a reboot because they didn't go back and review the characters and restart the characters, and everyone's Carrie's frozen. That's good. No, so they didn't review the characters and restart them. They just trolled out New Hope.
Yeah.
And then what's this going to be? Is this Empire Strikes Back or something under a different? You know, is it?
Well, I'm actually intrigued by this because this is a bit of a story that hasn't been told, isn't it? So that makes it more interesting, I think.
Well, this is just the Avenger thing, isn't it? It's like Disney got Avengers, so we're going to make a load of movies all linked together. It's just an excuse to make more movies and make more money.
Mm. Yeah, well, and it's no secret that Disney is planning on making lots of Star Wars movies. And they're alternating between the
Little Mermaid the series out of this.
And the one-offs. So there you go.
We can cast the shit out of this. Money.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Well, I will say, as a Star Wars fan, as somebody who was greatly impacted by that movie at 9 years old, that I'm very happy to see Disney has control of it. I'm very happy with what they've done so far. Much better than what Lucas did with it. Thank God it's out of his hands. I don't think he realized what he created. I believe...
No. Hang on a second. Sorry, Carrie. I did throw a challenge down the last time we talked Star Wars on this show. And I said about 1, 2, and 3, I said I think it's crucial because it sets up the whole angst of Obi-Wan realizing he's done the wrong thing and the whole history repeating itself kind of issue over the fact, and everyone went oh, that's a different take on that. And did you go back and look at the movie, Jeff, because you were on that episode for sure?
And I enjoyed looking at the movies from a different perspective. I also enjoyed it a lot more when I did that, watching the version where it's all been combined into a single movie.
Give over.
And well, it was nice because I could run through the entire trilogy in 2 hours.
I think that the whole issue with 1, 2, and 3 was that it was ticking check boxes, and that's what the issue was for us, because we knew the follow up and it was setting everything up.
I totally agree.
Not a single planet killing planet Death Star thing in it either.
No, but they do show the plans for it.
Hours and hours of politics.
Really? Yeah, like I want to hear about trade federation agreements and blockades.
Well, that's the stuff of real life, mate. We're in the middle of an EU debate at the moment.
Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 was like watching space C-SPAN. It was the most boring, stupid thing I've ever seen. And too much CGI. George Lucas just might as well make cartoons.
In a galaxy far, far away, politicians do the same shit as they do on Earth.
And thank goodness J.J. Abrams recognized what attracted the fans of the first movie were practical effects.
Their
not
Senate House
puppets
is better
and
than
CGI.
Yours, no, their Senate House is better than yours, dude. Yours is pretty tame compared to theirs, isn't it? You haven't got floaty shit that comes down.
That's true, Ewan.
The Confederation of Malastare.
Ooh, that's nerdy.
I only know the Confederation of Malastare because my mate, Mark Silk, voiced the part for that.
Ooh. Anyway, back to arguing.
It seems that throwing your weight around at OWC on the chat and knowing Doc Rock has a positive effect. You'll be pleased to hear, Ewan, that the order has not gone out. Well, there's a surprise. It was only 10 minutes before shipping time. The credit will go back to the original form of payment. Is there anything else I can assist you with? No, Sam. Good man. Writer, you put a story in ahead of Jeff, although I let Doc go early. A Fitbit might save your man's life.
Yeah, well, it's a story I saw... this week with a recent story of a man, they're saying that obviously fitness trackers are a long way from placing doctors. Sorry, Rich.
Until they can do proctology, they're a serious distance away.
Well, can you imagine an Apple Watch with a thumb on it? Oh, Jesus.
The eye thumb.
we've taken the digital crown.
Available from thumb. Love Honey. There we go.
I hope it has chamfered edges.
No, it's just a butt plug, mate.
There's anything wrong with this.
Well, it's just looked at me like he's come out of a haze trying to ignore the sky, the Star Wars comments and heard the word butt plug.
The butt plug scene, salts. That's a big spoiler for Star Wars.
Yeah, the butt plug scene, right. Avoid that. Anyway, go on, Righty. Butt
plug. Anyway, there's this report of a chap who... had no history of cardiac disease or anything, or seizures or anything, but he had a bit of an episode, and he had a heartbeat between 130 and 190, and he was in some serious trouble. But what the doctors turned around and did it, looked at the, I don't know what Fitbit it was, because I wear a Fitbit and track my heart rate and all those sort of things, but they were able to pinpoint the point with the data on the app where, you know, he'd gone from 70 beats per minute to 190, and based on that, they were able to treat him, and they basically saved his life because of it. Now I'm thinking about that, because I've been thinking about getting an Apple Watch, and I know you guys have got Apple Watches, and I haven't got one. I've got a Fitbit Charge HR, it does the heartbeat and all that sort of thing. But then you've got things like Care Kit and Research Kit with Apple and all those sort of things, and you're kind of thinking, well, the doctors could have more information. Then, you know, it would be a good thing if my doctor knew how much I drank, or how much I ate, or how fast my heart was going.
It would not be a good thing if you knew how much you drank.
Yeah, exactly. But
well, more an insurance company, really.
Oh, yeah, but this is what I'm kind of saying. What Apple are doing, and what other companies probably do in the future, what Google are following suit, is they're going to want us to give more and more of our data over, saying to us that it's better for you because we're going to make you better and we're going to cure diseases and all those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And like, if we let them do it, that's a good thing. But I'm just kind of wondering, you know, because
I think you started off with quite a pinpoint story there, though, and turned it into a cudgel that's 3 miles long, though, mate. It's,
I mean,
it's getting into a very big discussion, isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, stuff like that. So.
That's the whole point.
I don't want to get into. For those that don't know, Richard is a practicing doctor, so therefore we don't want him to say anything that would be incorrect or inappropriate to compromise that status. But these activity trackers and belts and watches and heart monitors, etc., are notoriously shite
at giving accurate data. They're shite now.
But Richard, I mean, how much credence would a doctor really? I mean, answer that how you want to answer it. But
I think all that would do, you know, listen to what you've described there, Paul, is it's just going to corroborate the patient's story. Nothing more than that. If somebody says, you know, I was feeling fine, then all of a sudden I didn't feel well and my heart was pounding out my chest, that's probably enough information.
Yeah.
But and the fact that the tracker has detected a fast heart rate, I mean, you can't rely on that. Really can't. Mm-hmm. You need an ECG to be able to corroborate that and to see what the problem is, you know. So, and no doctor is going to treat anyone with any drugs unless they've got an ECG to back up what they're doing. So, but it's clues, it's going to confirm what the patient's seeing and fit the story. So it's a little tool, but it wouldn't. I honestly don't think it would make any real difference.
I can support that. Sorry, I don't know whether you know that, but I'm working for a company that is providing information systems for doctors, and we are looking into. I don't know whether I can say that, but we are looking also. I think the market is looking into fitness trackers and all kinds of objects that are capturing information from patients. Mm-hmm. And so far it's just what is that? It's indication or not? It's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Mark, who's coming in a couple of weeks from Hoya, he's put a couple on, side by side, if you like, on both wrists, and none of them have ever tied up. He's got three, and none of them have ever shown the same information twice, not once, and that's telling.
Nobody yet, to my knowledge, has a medically certified fitness tracker.
Right.
That's a game changer when somebody brings that out.
Yeah.
I think that might be a long way off, though, as well, though, because they all connect via contact with the skin, and if the contact with the skin is dubious through sweat or obscurity of...
Heavy tattoos,
yep. etc., yeah, then it's... I think that's going to be really impossible, almost.
No, I don't think that's actually the issue. I think the issue is that it's cost... because it's really expensive to get that certification, it's a long process, and it's also liability, because once you are a certified tracker and something goes wrong, which can happen, you're as a producer, you're liable for that.
Yeah, but nobody wanted
to do that.
I would agree with you, Patrice, if it was for the fact that there was consistency amongst devices, but there's no consistent Linux devices. Mm. There's nothing. You know,
yeah, because they don't have to. They don't care.
They talk shit. Until they're not talking shit, then there's no connection, is there? So
they don't have to have quantified, repeatable results. They don't have to do that, where something that's medically certified has to be able to show you the same thing under various conditions and
I think be
correctly calibrated and stuff. So
Well, I thought it was quite telling that if you look at the last Apple keynote, they outed the research kit and the medical kits, and they were talking about the fact of what patients could do to provide data. But it wasn't about what the watch could do to provide data. It was not about biometric readings that were going through to things. It was about them tapping the screen in certain sequences and so on for Parkinson's, etc. It was more about a deliverable result rather than a monitor result.
You know, that's actually pretty much all I've seen out of the health kit stuff anyhow.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that's what Apple focused on when they were showing Research Kit, because that's pretty much all the data people are handing over to doctors, to the best of my knowledge, from an Apple Watch right now.
Jeff, while you're still on, mate, talk us through your story. FBI says a mysterious hacking group has had access to the US government files for years.
Yeah, this should make US citizens feel really comfortable about
grab your tin foil
our government's ability to keep data private and secure.
Sleep easy.
No, it's okay. I'm already on the TSA watch list, so you know, considering how I get felt up by the TSA every single time I fly.
When Jeff gets rear-ended at the airport, it's not a car crash.
Nope, hasn't been yet.
Well, if he wasn't such a big tipper.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that really bothers me is that they won't buy me a drink first. They don't give me flowers anymore. I don't even get snuggle time afterwards. I just feel so used and cheap.
Violated.
Anyhow, what was my story? Oh, right. You're
talking about the Star Wars movie again?
Yeah. Okay, so anyhow, federal computer systems and some big corporation computer systems have apparently been or were hacked like back in 2011, and it went completely undetected. And so the people that did the hacking have had unfettered access to the data in these systems for years. And the FBI is now saying, but don't worry, we've blocked them now. I have a very hard time buying that because they have no idea how deep these penetrations went. And I realize how that sounds. It's not how I intended it, but we'll roll with it.
Why am I not surprised that you brought a story about penetration? Okay.
I know. You would have been disappointed had I not. So anyhow, the big thing here is we have government systems that have been hacked for years and years. It went undetected. And I'm curious to see what the ramifications of this is going to be.
I know. It's crazy. It's as if somebody, you know, one of these days, somebody's going to get in there and they're going to take that data and they're going to expose all these government secrets and embarrass the United States government. Oh, wait a minute. That already happened.
Wait a minute.
It's kind of like your car's been wrecked and your story is about somebody who had wrecked their wrecked car. It's sort of like, well, it's already ruined. I mean, it's already out at this point. Once Snowden released everything, once Julian Assange released everything, this is kind of a non-story. I mean, isn't this just a repeat of...
It just shows on one that hand, these individuals yes, aren't alone. On the other hand, this is an embarrassment for the government. And
the fact they've admitted it is something.
It kind of drives home the distrust that people have in the government's ability to keep private information private. And it just doesn't do anything to bolster their reputation.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that a lot of the people that we have in Congress and in charge aren't exactly hip and cool people. They don't necessarily have a full grip on technology. And I've always wondered about that. I've always wondered how these 60-year-old judges hear court cases about things that technologies they don't even understand. And that seems to be the problem with our government, is the majority of people that run the government are older. And so a lot of these concepts, there's a great word for it, digital immigrants. They weren't brought up with the technology.
I like that term.
And so they have advisors and such that are teaching, you know, advising them and trying to get them on board. But it leads to all kinds of preposterous statements from our politicians, whether the internet is a dump truck filled with pipes, to, you know, all the other famous things that have gone down. And this is just, in my opinion, more of the same.
Yep. I agree.
Okay.
Now, if there's a story about how efficient and secure the government, the United States government is, that would be a cool story. I don't think I've ever read one.
I think it, at this point, it would be a fiction story.
So we are back on Star Wars. Okay.
Yes, we are.
Anders is a chap who deals with all the back-end stuff. He does the servers. He does the NQL channel server and the Hum100TB.com server. And he had a kind of a sweep with himself this week, and he said, I reckon this is going to be Jeff's story, and he sent me a link through, and I posted it in the chat room, so if you want to see what it is, go ahead. It's the 10 speed vibrating massage panties with wireless remote control, strap-on C-string underwear vibrator for women.
Oh, the eye panties.
And Jeff didn't pick it.
And eyepiece.
What a miss. That's what I think is.
But you know, it's all about the details to show the quality in that product. It has the little satin bow right on the front.
It does. That's exactly it. Even though it's not square. This podcast and all this is brought to you by the UK2.net. We love them to bits. I said last week, you know, these guys are not fly-by-night people who turn up, who say, oh, go on then. Okay, no, you crap, and move on. When we started off, we had absolutely nothing. We had no listeners to offer them, but they still sponsored us. They've been with us for 8 years now, and they're going to be with us for 9 because they've renewed the servers, and we do the 100TB stuff, which gives us the NQN channel, and we get offer codes for you guys to use. If you value the service that we provide to you, then you have to provide the service for UK too, because they are awesome. They look after us. We couldn't afford to do what we do. NQL channel pulls 3.5 terabytes of data to try and give you a show every single minute that there's one available. And the server that we've got that we do all of the hosting on for the website and all of the shows to iTunes, that's $400 a month, £400 a month, sorry. And UK2 pick up that cost automatically. We don't pay for any of that stuff. We couldn't give the service that we give without UK2. So please, please, please let them know that you're a valued customer and tell them that. Please sign in through the /UK2 account link that we've got on the BTN server. And please, please, please use the offer codes. And if you're sitting thinking, well, the offer codes are for the new people, not for the regular customers. No, they aren't. Pick up the phone when you're in your domain and read the offer code out, and they'll go, yeah, okay, fine. And there you go, you're back in. UK2, they're awesome. We couldn't do the show without them. And the other people to support are Hoya. Now, if you remember back to summer of last year, I got my eyes measured by Mark at Hoya. He'll be back here in 2 weeks' time. And he said, right, we're going to provide you with a set of glasses so that you can review them for us. And they're going to have the focal length that goes out to the camera and then just down to your keyboard in the varifocal. And tell us what you think. And they gave me a set of glasses. These are those set of glasses. There we go. And they're beautiful. I wrote a review on them that said they were beautiful. But now Hoya are a sponsor of the network as well as. They've corrected the diopter that I've got in my little glasses, and they provided me with a general vision pair of glasses as well so that I can use them all the time. And you're sitting there going, well, yeah, okay, I'm coming up for a new pair of glasses. Maybe I'll give them a trick. But they're too expensive for me. Well, yes and no. They're not cheap glasses. Let's not be silly about it. But you get custom care. When you write to podcast or podcasts at hoya.co.uk, you'll find that a Hoya representative will turn up and will assist with the measurement at your local opticians if that's what's necessary. They will help you out. They will make sure that you get the 100% service that we got here in the studio. All the measurements will be there, and your glasses will be ground, custom made and fitted and angled. And you go, well, they look a bit flimsy, you know, they might break. I've sat on these pairs of glasses and they've been back into positions. They're great. I've worn them in the shower because I forgot I had them on because they're so light. Then they're fine. they're really good pairs of glasses. There's a new system coming out as well, which I think Mark's going to bring some examples with him in a couple of weeks, called the top loader, which has only got one point of contact, which will reduce the milling stress on the lens, and it'll give you far, far improved vision on what we currently have. But you know, what we have is just unbelievable. It's way, way, way better than anything that I've had as a glasses before. They're superb. So check them out, Hoya. If you want to know about Hoya, then all you've got to do is say, look, podcasts or podcast at hoya.co.uk, and Mark will get back in touch with you. He'll help someone organise to be there with you, and you can try it out. And at the end of that process, if you go, no, Hoya are not for me, fine, doesn't matter, that's okay. You can walk away. There's no commitment, there's no requirement. All you're doing is checking it out and trying it out. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. It's okay. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Dr. Sexy, start us off.
Right, well, in the weirdest coincidence ever, I also have a USB 3 dock.
Oh! No. So I said the Anchor one was kind of cool earlier on, pre-show.
Yes. But,
so what did you buy then?
So the one I bought is by a company called Pluggable, and I'll sort of stick it in the dock before I forget. It's a 10-port USB 3 dock, and the thing that is nice about it, well, two things that I like about it. One is that you get quite a number of the ports on the front, so it's nice and easy to access. You've got six of them at the front. But also, one thing that I particularly like is that this is something that I always want to do when it comes to charging things like my fitness watch and stuff like that that I use for sport.
You have an incoming call from Jeff Gamet.
Oh. It has two of the ports stay on even when your computer's turned off, so they remain powered all the time. So I think that's it. It's in a kind of a nice sort of piano black color, and it's got a little blue light on it. Blue lights are always good, aren't they? And that's about all I can tell you about it, really. But it's worked great for me.
Okay, good pick. Thank you very much.
It's I think it's quite a bit more expensive than yours, but I think that's maybe because of the other little bits and bobs that it's got. So
no, it looks good. It looks really good. I just bought the Anchor one because it's kind of a brand that we've picked regularly on the show and we know about. So that's the only reason it came up. But I like the little toggly ports there at the back where you can flip the angle.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
That looks pretty good. And it's got two more ports than mine has, you upstager.
Different price point, though, so there's a USB 3 dock for everyone, Ewan.
Absolutely. Other USB 3 docks are available.
Yeah.
Jeff, I've got no video from you, mate.
Well, that's weird, because it looks like I have video happening on my end.
No video, mate. Huh. We'll come back to you. Let's do Carrie while you sort that out. Carrie, have you got a cool thing for us to get in the chat room?
I have something.
Are you downloading porn, mate? Because you're in Minecraft vision.
I'm reading the reviews on this product. I put a link in there. It's you know, sometimes Amazon has these products and the reviews are so much better. These are sugar-free Haribo gummy bears. Who doesn't love a gummy bear?
What's the point?
The point is the reviews. So just to share a few of these reviews, this is how useful a review can be, and this is why I love online shopping so much better than brick-and-mortar stores, because the information you can get about the product from people who own it and what they really think about it. So if you were considering buying these sugar-free gummy bears, you should know from this reviewer, what came out of me felt like someone tried to funnel Niagara Falls through a coffee straw. I swear my sphincters were screaming. It felt like my delicate starfish was a gaping maw projectile, vomiting a torrential flood of toxic waste. Be sure to also buy a tub of OxyClean with this to get the blood and diarrhea stains out of your underwear, clothes, furniture, pets, loved ones, and ceiling fans.
And ceiling fans.
This person says, oh my God, everything previously written is true. It's all true. Don't eat more than 15 in a sitting unless you're trying to power wash your intestines. And this goes on and on and on and on. So if you're looking for some entertainment, or if you're looking for a gift for that special someone, you might consider this product from Amazon.
I've got to say, you did this when you were on a few months ago,
And, no.
And it, yeah, you did some, a different review.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the $60,000 TV.
Yeah, but I took heart from that, and I've posted when we, it was May last year, actually, because we were purchasing stuff for the studio, and I took heart from that, and I actually started putting reviews in Amazon that were akin to that. And we got some climbing hooks that were used to hold the lighting gantry up, and I gave a review about how the wife preferred these when they held me from the ceiling while she was torturing me. and it got published. As long as you don't say anything about the packaging, they'll put anything up.
Nice.
You mention anything about the packaging and that's it. It doesn't get it there. Worryingly, right? Now, this is interesting because when you posted that, I thought, oh, I'll sign in. I signed in and looked at my orders on Amazon. According to them, I have no orders. I have not placed any orders in the last 6 months, according to Amazon at the moment.
What?
Well, my link is Amazon.com. You usually need to go to com.uk, right?
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well spotted.
If only there was like a computer guy here that could explain this stuff to us.
Shut up.
Someone who knows how to use a smartphone.
Oh. That's not you. You still haven't
it's
ordered,
not me.
You still haven't ordered cowbell. Jeff's gone. Jeff's given up. That's it. Here we go.
Try to work out which of the ingredients would be causing the laxative effect, and it's not obvious. Possibly the coconut oil for some people.
It might be the shit that's included in it.
God. Do you mean artificial colours, yellow 5, red 40, and blue 1?
Yeah, that might be in there. Have they got a breakdown of the crap that's in there?
It's got the list of what's in them.
Yeah, there's got to be. You know, there was a story of a flight attendant who had diarrhea constantly, and the doctors couldn't figure it out. And actually, this is a real medical story. They actually used this on House, an episode of House once. Mm-hmm. And
you have an incoming call from Jeff Gamet.
Gamet.
So what happened was this doctor notices she's chewing gum. He says, do you chew a lot of gum? And she says, yeah, I chew several packs a day. I'm on a plane. It helps my ears pop. He goes, well, this has xylitol in it. And in small amounts, it's fine. But the amount of gum you're chewing, it's creating this effect. And it was just that sugar substitute. Well, and it was never intended for, you know, the manufacturer never thought somebody would be eating that much of it.
To be fair, this is a 5-pound bag.
That's yeah, but a, they said as but they said if shit. You eat as few as 15 of these individual gummies, or if you go beyond eating 15 of them, basically, during one of the last of the 8 trips to the bathroom, I released such a large volume of gas.
The questions.
Well, never mind.
The questions. My co-workers are constantly blowing up the bathroom. Would eating some of these be a good way to retaliate? The answer is buy them now. Question, if these are sugar free, then why do the ingredients above list corn syrup and sugar and dextrose? I blame aliens or the government is the answer.
Somebody's put ideal gift for your congressional representative.
Should I try them? It depends. Do you like painful and explosive diarrhea? If yes, this is a snack for you. Excellent wedding gift for an ex-husband or wife. Also try a tasty birthday treat for your diabetic mother-in-law.
Why spend $195 for a 3-day juice cleanse when you can eat some gummy bears for a fraction of the cost?
I bought these for my dad who was complaining of not being able to go as a joke. And he's diabetic. He's not told me he has experienced any problems. I have about 10 at a time and they've not had any adverse effect. You could buy a small bag elsewhere and see if it affects you. It doesn't for everyone.
Oh, what a boring review.
That's a bit sensible, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
That's too boring.
Good. I'd like to say good pick, but no. Righty, what's your cool thing?
Well, on a Dr. Sexy's pick tonight, a little present my wife got me this week, which is this little fella here, little Darth Vader. He presses the chest.
Is it a Pez machine?
And he gives you the old breathe, and then he just spins the sweets.
Excellent.
And
how many can you eat at one time before it becomes awkward in social situations?
They're not sugar-free gummy bears it's dispensing, is it?
Actually, they taste just like gummy bears.
the Force will definitely be with you.
Behold the power of the dark side.
If you need the Force, that's not good, is it?
Luke, I am your father.
Anyway.
So your pick is a Pez dispenser, is that what you're saying, Righty?
Yeah, but it's got Darth Vader on it.
Have you got a link or not?
No, I've been trying to find one.
But then you find out how much your wife paid for it, and that's not cool, because you're in the spare room then, mate.
I am in the spare room right now.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm screwed.
Won't be leaving. Fair enough. Good pick, I think. Patrice, for God's sake, dig us out of this hole.
Yeah, my pick is an app that you probably all know. As I mentioned before, I was in France this week and I learned French in school, so planned 15 years ago. So my French wasn't very good. And I used Duolingo to train a little bit it was interesting. I mean, I haven't used it to learn a new language, but just to get my brain back in that French mode and remember a lot of things. It was a really, really good app. I enjoyed it so far. I've used it for 3 days, so I can't really tell how good it will be in the long term. But
it's free.
It's a good app. It's free, so just try it.
But there's no in-app purchases.
They have some in-app purchases for bonus things. You can get bonus lessons. And
is that swear words in the relevant language?
Probably, yes.
The important stuff.
No, good. I like that. I need to practice my French. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. My cool thing I've stuck in the chat room is the Milanese loop for the Apple Watch. And you're going, okay, yeah, the £129 job from Apple. No, the £14.99 job from Amazon, which I've put the link in britishtechnetwork.com/chat. This is it. It looks just like, and it feels just like, and it actually feels finished better than the one that I felt in the Apple Store, because that had quite rough edges here, and this isn't. You're going, well, okay, Ewan, but you said it wouldn't fit on your wrist. Well, fit is a word in inverted commas here, because it doesn't fit on my wrist. It doesn't fit over my hand particularly. But if I give it a bit of a wiggle, I can actually get it over, which I definitely couldn't do with the Apple Watch. And based on the fact I've had a couple of beers and my hands are probably swollen, it won't work anyway. But the magnet is really, really strong, and it's gorgeous, and it works. And I've got it on and off a couple of times tonight, and it works just fine. And the other thing is they do a leather band, and the leather band I can get in because it fits through the loop, and it's really comfortable. And that was £16.99. And then there's a black Milanese, which is £14.99 as well. And it's from a company called Jet Tech. There you go, on Amazon.
Your link's broken.
My link's broken.
No, the link you put in the chat room is broken.
Yeah, in the chat, the link is... it's got a... like a trademark symbol or something that right after the name of the product, that breaks the link.
How about that?
Much better.
That looks better.
Oh, no, there is a trademark link that breaks the link. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah
there we go. Unique Magic Magnet Jet Tech. Deepan's put a link in after the chat room. But there's also leather ones, and there's Milanese loops, and there's gold, and there's silver, and there's black, and there's the snap one that goes on the bottom. And it's obviously the firm that makes them for Apple.
That red one's
nice. They do look very good.
They are extremely good, and the leather one smells of leather, and it fits through, and it fits my wrist perfectly, and it's really comfortable. I'm really impressed with it. Well worth having. And 15 quid as opposed to 149 quid. Apple, you thieving bastards. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Harkness?
Twitter at Rich Harkness, and you can probably find us on the website as well, human-v2.com, and humanv2 on YouTube as well.
Excellent, mate, thank you. I forgot to mention as well, are you coming to the Bash this year, mate?
Oh, crap. When is it?
It's the 22nd and the 23rd of July. We've pushed it back so the British Grand Prix doesn't link into it. And it should be loads and loads of fun. Just that a little bit later, better weather. We've had good weather all along, though. But
yeah.
We also have a very, very special treat that me, Wheaters, and Lee Peterson are working on. It is a real special treat. It's well worth having, and it'll be on the day of the bash on the 23rd rather. So 22nd for the curry, 23rd for the bash. And you're going, okay, that's great, Ewan. I'll book a ticket when they're available. Pada, they're available. BritishNetwork.com/bash, I think.
Right, I'll have a look at the dates.
Or bash tickets, one or the other. Righty, do you know the link?
The bash.
British Tech Network /the bash. There we go. Tickets are available for sale. £20 for adults. Kids are free as long as they're under 16. But if you're bringing a kid, let us know you're bringing a kid just so we can get enough food in. That's all we're asking. You don't have to pay for anything else. It's beer and food included. So all you've got to do is book the ticket, bring yourself, book a hotel because you won't be fit to drive home afterwards. And the travel lodge, I think, is nearly full. There's a lot of people who have already booked the room. But have a look. The travel lodge at Castle Bromwich, it's on the Bradford pub. And it's there's prices as low as £23 for the night. So It should be dead easy. 22nd, 23rd. There we go. Should be good. Should be loads of fun. A big family event as well, so bring the kids. So, Rich?
Yep.
Bring the missus. Bring the kids. It'll be fine. Yeah. My missus actually said, my missus is kind of like, she's gone from like hiding the jewellery in the house when we used to have it at the house to now. She actually goes, I really enjoy the bash. I really look forward to the bash. And I was talking to Steve Nobe the other day and he said, I said, are you coming to the bash? He said, oh, you're joking. He said, my kids, that's the only thing that they've got in their calendar. They want to come to the bash. So, it's a kid-friendly event. Absolutely. There's no swearing, I promise. Even though we're a sweary podcast, we're not a sweary bash. Jeff, you coming to the bash?
I want to come to the bash, so I'll give you a tentative. Yes,
I think it should be like Mecca, if you like. For BTN listeners, you've got to come to the bash once in your lifetime. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you're not a true BTN fan.
Yeah, and I think that's a totally reasonable expectation.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where can we get you, pal?
You can get me over at MacObserver.com. And at freshbrewtales.com, and on Twitter, I'm Jay Gamut. Same thing on Instagram, and I'm a lot of places. I didn't give you my cool thing. Let me do that real fast.
Right. Oh no, because we missed you out because of the
because my computer crapped out.
So give us your cool thing, mate.
Okay, I can do it really fast.
No, that's fine.
It's for this, the BB-8 from Sphero.
Oh.
There is a software update that they rolled out just a few days ago. And with the update, you drop BB-8 into his little charging stand and you start playing The Force Awakens and he watches the movie with you.
Nice.
How do you mean he watches the movie with you? His head moves.
Yeah, his head moves and he reacts to the scenes and he'll burp and cheep, beep and chirp. If he's burping and cheeping, then he's probably had some of the gummy bears. and so you need to keep your iPhone or Android phone, whatever it is you're using to control them. It needs to be close enough to your television so that the microphone in that can pick up the sound from the movie, and then. It uses that so that BB-8 can respond, and it's really fun.
You might need to explain microphone to Carrie later on, but never mind.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll draw you a picture.
BritishTechNetwork.com/bash tickets. There you go. That's the link. You can now buy your bash tickets for the bash for 2016. BritishTechNetwork.com/bash tickets.
Am I buying scotch?
No, you've got to buy a ticket. I mean, there's people that are going, oh, well, you know, I do loads of stuff for the network. That's fine. I do appreciate that. But we have to pay for the food and we have to pay for the beer and that kind of stuff. So I do apologize if you do help the network out. But, you know, it's a singular. All you're doing is contributing, if you like, to the day's events. You're not. We don't make a profit out. In fact, actually, we made an £800 loss out of last year's event.
And it's not that expensive,
which I subsidized. Yeah. so you know, it's this is not, we're not making a vast profit out of this thing. Please, just give us a bit, help us out. Carrie, where are you, sir?
You can check out my videos on YouTube at carrieholzman.com. Just published a new video busting some more technical myths and misinformation. Latest video, just people make a big deal about water coolers and third-party coolers on their chips, and I actually show that you can remove the cooler entirely on a modern Intel processor, probably the same on an AMD, and the chip won't catch fire, it won't burn out, the system didn't even shut down. Running Prime 95, pushing all the cores on the chip with no heatsink on it whatsoever, no airflow, it would just automatically throttle itself down when it hits 100 degrees Celsius and just maintained it the whole time, and it can run for hours that way. So just doing my best to educate people and show them through the videos what's true versus what they read on Google, for example. And I also do videos for a company called Newegg here in America, and those can be seen on the DIY Garage channel at newegg.tv, also on YouTube.
Excellent, mate. Nice. You'll be sitting on the LG website looking through what you can do with your brand new G4.
You know, I'm still figuring it out. Dipping my toes in the water. But before you know it, once I figure it out, you'll never see me make eye contact again.
That Razer V3
staring at that thing.
That Razer V3 is going to be a doorstop next week.
I'll get there that quickly, but I'm sure I'm going to get there.
And stop downloading the porn, Jesus. Righty, where are you, mate?
Paul's on Twitter, mate. Always in the Slack room. And Slack's been so good.
Slack's awesome, mate. Slack is awesome. If you want to come into the Slack room, send me an email to britishjetnetwork@gmail.com. saying please let me in the Slack and I'll give you an invite, and we've had an absolute monster ball.
It's been great. Well, I signed my whole team up to it today to do all of the work in there, and they love it straight away. This is the best.
Slack's
great. It is the best.
But the BTN Slack room is just a step above.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, always.
Because it's all the shiz that your mates do. Definitely.
Bit of argy-bargy.
Yeah. I really enjoyed.
People are behaving, though. Behaving
for the most part, except for Muller.
Yeah, except for Muller, yeah. Don't click on his name. Don't click on his name. And Patrice, sitting down, Patrice, where are you?
Yeah, as always, almost every week on the Mac Show, except for next week.
Except for this week, because I screwed up.
No, yeah. Okay, that's, yeah.
Good news from
OWC. I was there.
Good news from OWC, though. They cancelled the order.
Yay. So,
yeah.
You only have to pay 100-something bucks instead of. yeah, every week on the Mac Show and on Twitter @casual_kitchen, and all my links on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Muller says he's coming to Germany tomorrow, but I don't believe that for a second, because he's drunk too much to get to the airport.
To get to get anywhere. Yeah.
My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me @EwanRankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week with the Mac Show and the Big Show. I promise, I do promise, because next week Alex McQuilkin's coming over. He's on holiday in the UK, and he's taking a day out of his holiday with his missus to bring her for a pre-show curry and to sit in here shooting the breeze with all us lot. How cool's that?
Nice.
That's awesome.
Now, if you're a BTN fan, this is your mecca. You need to come here. Don't forget, if you want to contribute to the old Mac Mini for the fund for the wall, Scott, we're well past one now, up to 1 1/5. We need 5 though to run the Skype wall properly, so please, if you fancy giving us a donation, give it to bageltechnews@gmail.com on PayPal. And one of the cool things is you will get your signature on the Mac Mini that we use on the show. It'll be on the wall here, and you'll have your picture, and I'll send you a picture of your signature and your message on that Mac Mini. So there we go. The people that have already contributed will already be on number one. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.